Psalms 139, we'll begin reading with verse 1. If you have it, say amen.
Amen.
O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. I want to read that once more, all right? O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Boy, that's a scary thought, ain't it? For there's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, it is high. I cannot attain unto it. Would you lift your hands this way and ask the Lord to help us this morning? Father, we love You. We thank You. We bless You for Your mercy, for Your grace, Your compassion. Lord, we thank You for Your long-suffering, for everything that You're doing for us. God, would You pass by this way and touch us in this congregation today? God, would You send the liberty and the power of the Holy Ghost? I pray, Lord, that You would come down from heaven. Walk among us with Your power and with Your grace. Save every sinner, Lord. Bring every backslider home, God. Touch every lukewarm churchgoer this morning. God, light a fire in our hearts in Jesus' name. When we leave this place, let us leave burning with the glory of God. We'll bless You and thank You for what's accomplished. In the name of Jesus we pray. The church said, amen. Shake your neighbor's hand, would you, and welcome them to New Life Holiness Church. Hallelujah. O Lord, Thou hast searched me. O Lord, Thou hast searched me. Thou hast searched me. That's personal, ain't it? Thou hast searched me. I've been searched. Anybody here ever been searched? It is an embarrassing thing to get searched. Come on now. That's right. When you're searched, it immediately implies that you've got something you shouldn't have. Amen. When you're searched, it tells the world around you that's watching the search go on that you've been somewhere you shouldn't have been. You've been a partaker of something that you shouldn't have been involved in. It sends a signal. It sends a message. It says something's not right. Something's gone wrong. Amen. Many of us that are gathered together in this sanctuary this morning have been searched by men, and maybe even in a public place. And let me tell you, it's an embarrassing situation when it happens, because everybody that passes by immediately finds you guilty of whatever reason it is they're searching you for. Come on here now. Amen. Well, how about being searched by God? David's a praying and he's talking to God, and he said, Thou hast searched me. Hallelujah. Thank God. I wonder how we'd feel here in this sanctuary this morning. Now, I'm just trying to feel this out. God spoke to my heart to go in this direction. I'm just going to preach a little while and wait on the Lord. I feel like He's got something for us in this service this morning. Now, how do you feel when God comes by to search you? How is it that you would feel if the Lord come to this sanctuary this morning and right in front of everybody involved, He began to search you and He began to know you? you and he began to try you, would that be an embarrassing thing? I wonder how it would be if somehow by some supernatural power the Lord would come down in a cloud and make a screen right here on this back wall, and your picture would be up in the right hand corner of it, and it would begin to play like a movie and show the entire church all the things you've been doing that you shouldn't have been doing, all the places you've been going that you shouldn't have been going, all the words you've been saying that you shouldn't have been saying. I wonder how we would feel if the Lord would come by and start at this front row and go one row at a time and begin to prophesy and tell the entire church the thoughts that you've been thinking. Come on here now. Oh, what an embarrassing situation that would be, I'll guarantee you, if God started right here with Brother Rusty and he let us know that he was going to take one row at a time. It wouldn't take the back of the church long to clean out. Come on now, say amen. I don't know about you, but I've done things I don't want you to know about. Come on here. I've said things I don't want you to know about. Say amen, somebody. Oh, but listen, everything I've done, God knows all about it. Every word that's come across my lips, God knows all about it. Amen. Did you hear the cry of David as he lifted up his voice? He said, "Thou hast searched me and known me." Hallelujah. Understand, how would we feel this morning if somehow the Holy Ghost was to sweep through this place and begin to reveal the hidden sin that is inevitably among us, one by one by one? What if he started on the platform and worked his way toward the back of the church and let everybody know exactly what was going on behind the scenes and up under the covers? Hey, we don't fear that happening much because we've never seen it take place on that fashion. But I want us to understand something here today. Amen. Indeed, it would be an embarrassing situation. Indeed, amen, we wouldn't have to give an altar call because everybody here would be in the altar. Say amen. Hey, we wouldn't be so much worried about what I done or what they done. We'd be worried about what we'd been doing. Come on here now. Hey, listen, fear and trembling would come on every person here when the Lord started with the first one. Come on now. If you knew he's a coming to your pew, you'd be repenting and praying before he ever got there in the hopes that he would not let the church know exactly what's been going on. I want you to understand something. We can't hide anything from God. We can't sweep anything up under the rug. God knows all about it. God's been looking down from heaven, and God's been keeping a record of it. Amen. I want you to see and understand something. David said, "Thou hast searched me." Amen. Oh God, have you ever had the Lord come by and search you? Listen, we don't worry about God doing it in public so much because we haven't seen it happen on that fashion but very few times. But you know what God chooses to do? He deals with your heart in secret. Come on here now. He comes by and he begins to expose your sinfulness and your shortcomings, your faults and your failures, not to everybody around you, but he first reveals it to you. Come on now. He gives us ample opportunity to pray through, ample opportunity to get it under the blood, ample opportunity to get right with God. He comes and knocks on the door of our hearts, and if we'll open the door, he will indeed search us. Oh, it's not going to be a pleasant thing when the Lord comes by to search you. Anybody ever been searched of God? Come on now. Anybody ever had the Lord come by and search them? You know what I'm feeling like we need? Amen. You know what I'm feeling like would do us good? A good old-fashioned Holy Ghost frisking. Come on now. If the Lord had come by and searched some of us and make us empty out our pockets, come on now, and get rid of some of that garbage we've been carrying around, some of that gossip, some of that tale-bearing, some of that murmuring. Come on here now. I feel like it would do us good if somehow we could yield Thou hast searched me and known me. I want you to understand that this was not a downcast song that the psalmist was singing. This was a song of rejoicing. This was a song of praise. Understand, he puts it in the past tense. Thou hast. Come on now. It always feels good after it's all over with. Come on now. It ain't too pleasant when it's going on. When God's beginning to reveal to us the areas in our life that we need to move up. The areas in our life that need some attention spiritually. The areas in our life that we need to shuck off and lay aside or put on and be clothed with. Come on now. It's never a pleasant thing when the Lord comes by and begins to pull the skeletons out of our closet. But I want you to understand something. When I was a little bitty boy, don't fall out with me now. Mama used to come at me with that big tablespoonful of medicine when I was sick, and I'd hold my nose. I'd have a glass of water waiting because it tasted so bad. But I'll never forget what she'd say. It tastes bad going down, but it'll be good for you in the long run. Come on here. That's the way it is when God searches a man. That's the way it is when God searches a woman. It may not be very pleasant when it's taking place, but He has our own good in mind. He has our own well-being. Hey, He wants our latter end to be greater than the first. Come on here now. He wants us to finish this race. He's not in the business of keeping people out of heaven. He's in the business of getting them there. Come on here. We look at this searching. We look at this frisking by the Holy Ghost. We look at Him going through the chambers of our heart. Amen. As a bad thing. As an awful thing. And we do it so much that when folks come to the altar and pray, with our carnal mind we say, I wonder what it is they've been doing. I wonder where it is that they've been. I wonder why they're having to go pray. Come on here now. Amen. But it's not a bad thing to be searched by the Holy Ghost. It's a good thing. Come on here. When He searches us and when He knows us and He lets us know ourselves, then and only then can we repent of it and get it under the blood and be what God desires us to be. Thou hast searched me and known me. Did you hear? As the psalmist continued on, not only did he say, Thou hast searched me and known me, Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Amen. Oh, can I tell you, He knows everything there is to know about us. We could easily look at this particular scripture, my downsetting and mine uprising. Come on here. We could easily just brush it off and look at it, amen, very lightly and say that God knows every time I sit down and He knows every time I wake up in the morning. And surely God knows every breath we take. The very hairs on our head are numbered. But let's go just a little bit further. God might have said, I know every time that preachers are preaching on you, every time you sit down on me, I know every time that you could have got in and worshiped me, but you sat down. Come on here now. He knows my downsetting. Come on here. Surely, we can all come to agreement and say that every time I lay my head down at night, God knows about it. But I want to tell you, He looks deeper, amen, than the flesh. He looks deeper than your skin. He looks deeper than your clothes. Come on now. He looks on the recesses of your heart. Every time the road gets a little rocky and you sit down on God, God's writing it down. Come on now. Every time things don't go your way and you sit down on God, God's keeping a record of it. Come on here. Every time, amen, there's a little ripple across the sea of life and you feel like quitting and giving up and throwing in the towel, God is keeping a record of it. Well, this ain't a Sunday morning message probably. Amen. He knows my uprising. Come on here. Amen. He knows my uprising. Every time I stand up and say, I will not do that. Come on here. Every time I rise up against the Word of God. Every time I rise up against the way of God. Every time I rise up against the things of God. Great Lord, I've been praying this week. Come on here now. And I'm going to preach this to you this morning. Every time I rise up and say, I don't have to do it that way. It don't have to be done that way. That's a preacher's conviction. That's all right for the preacher's family. Come on and rise up. Come on and rise up. Come on now. He knows every time you do it. Every time you rise up against Him, God's writing it down. Thou knowest my down setting and mine uprising. I don't know what's worse, sitting down on God or rising up against His will. Sitting down on the things of God or rising up against His way. Come on here. One is just as equally bad as the other. And God knows about them both. Listen, I've traveled the Southeast over and over. Do you know that last year alone, I had about 37,000 miles of traveling up and down the interstate of the Southeast of preaching this good gospel. And I've been in church after church after church. 33 revivals last year. 33 revivals a year before that. 30 revivals a year before that. Come on here. And I've seen them come and I've seen them go. I've seen the same crowd get saved. Every time I go year by year, they're the same church. Come on here. I've seen the same mamas and daddies struggling, barely hanging on in one Sunday and out the next Sunday. And I begin to understand as I watched during these few years the repercussions, amen, the effects of the lifestyle that mom and daddies are living. Every time you rise up against God, not only is God seeing you, there's a little girl watching you, there's a little boy watching you, and you're going to wonder why it is that when they get old enough to do their own thing, they're not going to choose holiness and the right and go the right way. It's going to be because of your uprising. I feel like preaching a little holiness this morning. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. Amen. I want you to understand something right here. That God searches us and knows us for our own benefit. But when He comes and begins to knock on the door of our heart, and instead of flinging them open, we tighten them down, clamp them down, and lock the bolts of our heart and refuse to let Him in. Every time we sit down, every time we rise up, God knows. God knows. Do you know that I preached in churches this year that has homosexuals in it? I'm talking about wholeness, folks. Come on here. I think we ought to use Bible terms. Homosexual ain't in there. They're sodomites. Come on now. That don't sound quite as flowery and pretty. Amen. Do you know that I've preached in churches this year where adultery is on the rampage? Amen. Where fornication has been revealed among the congregation? Come on here now, are you hearing me? Listen, we can paint our pretty pictures in our mind and think as long as we look right on the outside, everything's going to be all right. Listen, the outside's important, but that's only about a quarter of what God's concerned about. There's three-fourths more. Come on now. I said there's three-fourths more, and it's that other three-fourths that we're worried about here this morning, that we're preaching about here today. Did you know that right among us in our own holiness movement, there's teenagers singing in the choir on Sunday morning, smoking cigarettes on Monday. Come on here. You know that they're experimenting with drugs right on our holiness pews. Come on here. Do you realize that while we sit idly by and refuse to let God search us, the devil's coming right into our sanctuary and beginning to kill and to steal and to destroy right among us? We
We get wrapped up in our little ditty, our little clique, and what we believe. Come on now. I mean, we get hung up on this, and we get hung up on that. And don't you leave here misunderstanding me. I ain't taking nothing away from any of the external, amen, things that we believe. I believe it. Come on. I said, I believe it. Hallelujah. But what we need to concentrate on here, more than anything else, is letting God search us, letting Him reveal it to us, letting it be uncovered, that we can repent of it, and get it behind us. Come on here. We need a good searching. Hallelujah. A good searching. We preach about searching after God. We preach about looking after God. We preach about coming close to God. But what about God searching after us? What about Him coming close to us? What about Him coming down to where we're living? Search me. Know me. Come on here now. Everybody in this building, there's no exceptions to what I'm getting ready to say. Everybody, from the platform to the front door, every one of us have done things since we've been saved that we're ashamed of doing. Have I got a hold of it? Is that right? Every one of us have said things that we would not want to be repeated to this congregation. I ain't talking about cussing. I ain't talking about talking filthy. We've said hurtful, spiteful, hateful, mean things. Come on here now. And sometimes we try to cover it up by being the biggest amener. Come on, I'm starting to feel the Holy Ghost here. Sometimes we try to hide it by being the big tithe payer. Come on now. Some of them don't even believe in paying tithe. Amen. Come on here. But God knows it, and God's keeping a record. I read in Joshua the 7th chapter, amen, where the children of Israel went out to battle, and there was a man in the camp named Achan. Achan had just left a victory over Jericho. He stole a wedge of gold, a Babylonian garment, a few shekels of silver, amen. He hid them under his tent in his stuff. Come on now. He thought nobody knew it. He thought nobody would see it. They left the victory at Jericho and went out against the city of Ai, and everybody was pumped and ready to get another victory, but something went sour, something went awry. The presence and the power of God wasn't there helping them over at Ai the way that he was back at Jericho. Somebody must have broke his law. Somebody must not have kept his commandment. Somebody must have cheated. Somebody must have lied. Somebody must have stole. Amen. Somebody sinned and the battle was lost. The search is on. And the Holy Ghost said, line them up. Tribe by tribe. Family by family. Man by man. Household by household. And they file before Joshua. Amen. Until they finally get to Achan's tribe. And the Holy Ghost said, it's in this tribe. Come on now. And they filed it on down until it got to Achan's family. And the Holy Ghost said, it's in this family. Come on here. I wonder what we'd do this morning if he'd move on me right now and send me to your pew and say, there's where it's at. That's the one that's been doing it. That's the one that's been partaking in it. Come on here now. Amen, amen, amen. Don't draw up on me. Get in here and help me preach a while. I'm only preaching a little holiness this morning. Understand, hey, we'd draw up on God. We'd sit down on God. And that's exactly what Achan did. Amen. Joshua looked at him in the whites of his eyes and said, Achan, give God the glory. Come on, on, son. Give God the glory. Achan wasn't shouting too high. Wasn't waving his hands, rejoicing. It's easy to do that when nobody knows what you've been doing. But when God puts a finger on you, you know what happened to that man because he sinned? He died there. Amen. The Valley of Achor. He died. Not only did Achan die, his family died. Come on here now. His family died. His children died. His wife died. All that he owned died right there in that lonesome valley because of his sin. I'm going to tell you something. You can get by for a while, but sooner or later, God. Do you know that if I know you're sinning, if I catch you, you're going to draw up on me now. I feel it already. That I have the authority of the Bible to rebuke you openly. I could catch you in a Sunday morning service and say, stand up! I'm going to tell them what I saw you doing. Huh? 1 Timothy 5:20, them that sin rebuke openly, that others may fear. Come on now. Chances are that'll probably never happen, but it's in there! Amen! Amen. Amen. And then we look at 2 Timothy 2:19. The Bible said, amen, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Time to go eat, but I'm going to preach on anyhow. Amen. Adam and Eve couldn't hide it from God. They couldn't cover it up themselves. They needed the blood to cover it up. Moses couldn't hide the Egyptian in the sand. God saw it, and it cost him 40 years of exile. Ananias and Sapphira couldn't hide it from God's man. They fell dead because they lied to the Holy Ghost. He said, thou hast searched me and known me. Hallelujah. Great Lord, that's personal. Did you understand? He said, and understandest my thought afar off. Thou can passest my path and my lying down. You know what that word can passeth means? It means to winnow, to separate wheat from chaff, to fan, to sift, or to scrutinize. Amen. You know what it paints a picture of God doing? It shows God the Holy Ghost. Amen. With a fan in his hand. Or maybe the person of Jesus Christ, as John the Baptist prophesied, he would come with a fan in his hand. He's a following you. I said he's a following you. Everything you do, he's sifting out the good from the bad. Come on now. You can't hide nothing from him because it's God's fan. And God's the one walking down your path. Thou can passeth my path and understandest my lying down. Did you know that he went on to say in verse 5, thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. I've had preachers call me this year and say, do you remember Brother so and so? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I remember coming through there. I remember him. He's a sodomite. He was caught. What? Caught. Priest at a church in South Carolina. I'm sure the story has reached this part of the country several years ago. You know what happened? They caught the pastor. 5 or 6 of the young preachers. Sodomites.
Don't draw up on me, Brother Teague. You're in South Florida. You're at New Life Holiness. What are you preaching this to us for? I wonder. Come on here now. Amen. Do you know that the prevailing spirit of this day is a Sodomite spirit? Come on here now. You're helping me preach. Do you know that in the colleges and the universities of this country of ours, ask Brother Jim Gillis, he'll tell you. Ask Brother John Duncan, he'll tell you. Ask some of these other brethren that have been in Saul, they'll tell you. They're actually teaching them to experiment. They're teaching them to try it both ways. Come on now. I know that's pretty plain, but I feel like preaching a while right here. God knows it, friend, and you're not going to hide it from God. God's going to reveal it. God's going to uncover it. God's going to let it be known. The best thing you can do is open the doors of your heart and let King Jesus search you. Let Him know you. Get it under the blood. Under the blood. Under the blood. And get it behind you. You hearing me preach? Right while I'm here, let me preach a little while. I know this is out of character a little bit, but I want to tell you something. There's something else sweeping through the Holiness Church. Amen. And it involves the internet. Don't you draw up on me and don't you snicker and laugh. It's a very dangerous tool that the devil's using. He's destroying men. Amen. With pornography. Do you know that I read that there's over 900 million websites filled with pornography? Do you know that are people's constantly 24 hours a day sitting around trying to figure out how to get you hooked on it? Come on now. How to get you involved in it today. You won't have to pay for it. They'll send it to you for nothing. Come on here. The devil don't care. He'll send it to you for nothing. Do you know that recently at the beginning of this year, I'm just going to go out on a limb here and I'm going to preach this. I want you to know it. In the country of Europe, there are 32 Church of God churches. Now we're talking about a country where holiness has been preached. We're talking about an organization, amen, that's primarily holiness in other parts of the world. Don't you fall out with me. They're not all like they are in the United States. There's still some in other parts of the world that live just like we do. Come on now. Amen. And Uruguay was one of those countries. They recently had 32 churches in Uruguay. 28 pastors. Did you do the math? 28 out of 32 has recently confessed to being involved in pornography. Amen. And over half of them said, I'm actively involved in an extramarital affair. You're kind of quiet. You're kind of quiet. 28 out of 32? Well, that's the Church of God. Come on here now. It's happened here. It's happened down the road. Come on now. Say amen, somebody. Amen. Thou hast searched me. I wish I could get to where we're living at this morning. I wish the Holy Ghost would come by and help me to get there to where we're living at right here this morning. Do you know that they call him right down in St. Petersburg, that they called him right up at Tampa, that he was caught over to Orlando? Come on here. I wonder when they're going to catch you. I wonder how much longer you're going to be able to get by. I wonder how much more, amen, the devil's going to feed you. And before you decide to turn from it, will you wait till it's too long? Will you wait till it's too late? You hearing me? Come on here. There are people that are involved in this church, and I ain't a guessing right now, that are hooked on pornography. You hearing me? I'm preaching to you. Amen. They may not be here this morning, but they're affiliated with this church, and they're hooked on it, and they might even be among us. Come on now. Amen. It's a pulling at them. It's a tearing at them. And we've got to get stronger than we've ever been before if we're going to get them liberty, if we're going to get them prayed loose, if we're going to get them set free. We better let the Holy Ghost search us and know us. We better let Him have His way. Hallelujah. Some of you are wondering where in the world I'm coming from. Search me. Mama, did you hear what David said? After it's taken place, the searching, the knowing, the compassion, my path. Verse 5, change the picture. Thou hast beset me behind and before. And laid thine hand upon me. Searching is the only way to get the hand of God in our midst. David said, after it's all over, after I've been through the search, I've been through the knowing, I opened up my heart, let Him have His way. And I came to the realization that every word I speak, God hears it. Every thought I think, God knows it. He said, then God beset me before and behind. Anybody ever read that the angels of the Lord are encamped round about them that? Come on here now. Thou hast beset me before and behind, and hast laid thine hand upon me. Thank God. Why do you think He was able to sing them songs of praise? Why do you think He was able to lead a nation? Come on here. Hey, he'd been there. He'd failed. He'd come short. He'd sinned against God. But when the searching was done and the knowing was done and David was submitted to the will of the Lord and humbled himself under the hand of the Almighty, God said, I'll put a warrior in front of you. I'll put an angel behind you and I'll lay my hand upon you. Come on here now. Hey, God's not going to bless something where sin abounds. Come on, where sin abounds, grace does so much the more abound. But the blessings of the Holy Ghost is not going to anoint a sinful church that's spotted over with the world and the cares of this life. Are you hearing me? There's only one thing to do. There's only one way to go. We've got to crawl back to Calvary. We've got to run back to the Lord and let Jesus have His way. Search me. Search me. Search me. You ever been searched? Assume the position. There you go. You ever seen them do anybody like that? You know what they do? He makes sure he ain't got nothing he ain't supposed to have. I think it'd be good for the Holy Ghost to have us assume the position. One more time. Thank you, brother. You know what it is? It's not spread eagle up against the wall. You don't have to be afraid of this. Unless you're planning on coming here and keeping your dirty heart and going back to your pew, then you can fear it. But if you want to use it as a laver to cleanse yourself, come. Come. If you want to use it as a confessional to tell it all to the Lord, you don't have to be afraid of it. It's a New Testament altar, but it demands the same thing an Old Testament altar demanded. Death. Yeah.
Come on here now. The Old Testament, you could have probably knew you was coming upon an altar long before you saw it with your eyes. You know why? You'd smell it. It would smell with a stench of death. Come on here. Blood, dried blood would be all around it. Come on now. Amen. That's where they sacrifice to God. You know why so many churches tearing their altars out? It's still the man's death. You've got to die. Come on here. We want to keep on praying and carry our sin back home. We want to keep on singing and carry our sin back to the house. We want to come shed a few crocodile tears and go back home and continue to do the same thing that we've always done. I want to tell you something, friend. You're only going to get by for so long. God's writing it down. And sooner or later, there's going to be a payday. What can I do? What can I do? Somebody said, I've caught my son doing things he shouldn't do. What can I do? Somebody said, I found my daughter involved in things that she shouldn't be involved in. What can I do? I've been carrying this burden. Because you see, I caught my husband not too long ago doing something he shouldn't have been doing. Nobody knows it, Brother Tig. I haven't told anybody. But just a little while ago, my wife did something that she shouldn't have done. You can handle it two ways. There's only one thing the guilty party can do. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'd rather yield to the search than to be caught. Come on now. Just because you're searched don't mean you're caught. Come on now. Amen. I'd rather yield it to God than for everybody to know. Wouldn't you? You can do it at the altar, or you can handle it another way. I'm going to pick on you, Sister T. You can say, I'm all right. I got it all covered up. Nobody will know. I'll just sing them happy. I'll shout with them. I'd get by a little while longer. While folks are at the altar praying through, you can sit back and worry about squeaking by for a little while. You can get right up and hold your head up and leave. Be sure your sin will find you out. Every secret thing will be revealed. It'll all be uncovered. You know why? We learned this morning in Sunday school that judgment must first begin at the house of God. Stand with me, please. Would you bow your heads? Lord, we love You, Jesus. We thank You, Master. Oh, God. Lord, I pray that the guilty will feel the solemnity of this service. Lord, let them leave redeemed, justified, and set free. I pray, God, that the hurting, those that have suffered unjustly because of the actions of others, Lord, I pray that they would find relief and help in this altar. Those, Father, who have willingly surrendered themselves to the search of God, I pray, Lord, that they would find a spiritual revival and a blessing right in their soul in this altar this morning. God, and I pray for that one that knows they're wrong, that's going to get up and leave this service. Father, that You would rob them of every peace, all the joy, every ounce of happiness that the world offers. Paul said, turn their body over to Satan, Lord, that their soul may be saved in judgment. God, we thank You that You're a just God, that You're holy. Father, we thank You for Your help. Have Your way in this altar this morning in Jesus' name.